This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
If there was a thought bubble over my head when we came out, it would have been, okay, there it is, the energy, the intensity, and it was definitely good to see that. There would probably be some other stuff that you wouldn't have wanted to see in that thought bubble at the half, giving up some scores into those spaces. So those were a few of the things I liked. I was excited to see Debo run. Honestly, I'd been on the other side of that, and I know what that movie looks like, so that was cool to see. Saw John Bates again in the run game. I felt all the presence with him. And I felt the D-line active early. What I told the team, these penalties, you know, they cost us. We had a fourth down penalty, and those were the ones I thought, man, like, that's our winning time. We've got to nail those. And then coming out for the second half, I liked some of the intensity. I thought the run game, you know, early was better than late. But more than our last outing, intensity better, tackling better. But we have much to clean up to get to the standards that we want to play at.
Dan Quinn last night. That was his opening statement. He just gave you a game take from last night. But that first part, the energy, the intensity, it was definitely good to see that. And that is what coaching is all about sometimes, getting your team to play with that level because they respond to you. Now let's get to my game take. All right, the good. And there was a lot of it last night. Again, you know, caveat, preseason, Cincinnati playing some of their starters, some not. Washington the same offensively. They had a lot of their projected week one starters not on the field. You know, there isn't really a lot of game planning. The idea of winning the game, I know that this is contrary to the way many people operate, is not the priority. It is player evaluation for the most part. I'll start with number one on the list of good. Like I said, in the open, and Quinn said it as part of his opening statement, I just thought that from where they were against the Patriots, which seemed to be lack of energy, again, different player group that was out there for the most part, not a lot of effort, enthusiasm. Last night was completely different on both sides of the ball and even on special teams. Number two on the list of good, first drive on offense. I don't care what level of football it is or what type of game it is, an exhibition or whatever you want to call, you know, these preseason games. When you can rush the ball 74 yards on four plays, that is, you know, a bit of a statement. You know, it started with the Debo jet sweep for 19 yards on the first play from scrimmage. I've been, you know, very adamant that if he stays healthy, and that's a big if, and it's a big part of the narrative with Debo. I get it. But I just have a feeling that this dude is poised for a big season. We know he's capable of it. He'll play with the best quarterback he's ever played with. He'll play in a scheme with Cliff Kingsbury that will really suit his, you know, gadgetry, weapon, you know, skills, all around versatility. And of course you have to add he's playing on a contract year. That first, you know, jet sweep against a terrible defensive team last year, and maybe again this year, who knows? It just looked like vintage Debo, and I think we're going to see a lot of that this year. May have been a little bit of a statement, too, like, hey, we got a lot of different ways we can move the football on offense with the weapons we have, even if we don't have our number one wide receiver right now. He looked great. Then came Chris Rodriguez with, by the way, some help from John Bates ripping off a 40-yard run. Then two plays later, it's JD, 14 yards, scramble. That second play that Quinn talks about, you know, the play extension, he is elite level at that. It's him, and it's Lamar, and it's Mahomes. That's the list in this league of the quarterbacks that are devastating once the initial plan breaks down. You know, I guess there was a certain level of angst with him running, and would he take a hit? He really didn't get touched until he got around the goal line, and nobody was going to lay him out there in a preseason game. Again, a reminder, you know, on one play, four plays in total on the drive where he didn't drop back but that one time, just how lethal he can be and just how much he and his presence as, you know, an everything quarterback raises everybody around him. Number three on the list of good was the second drive offensively without Jaden in the game. Josh Johnson came into the game, but how about three plays, 44 yards, touchdown run from, yes, Ja'Cory, a.k.a. Bill Krosky Merritt, 27-yard old school Hogs counter Trey. And he didn't get touched until he had crossed the goal line. And once again, John Bates, wow, big-time block. Merritt saw it, exploded. Hard to ask for a better two-drive preseason result offensively than seven plays, 118 yards, 106 on the ground, 17.7 yards per carry. And they did it in just 3 minutes. 14 points in 3 minutes. Let's go through the individuals. Jaden, of course, again, you know, I mean, you don't see it in practice. You're not going to see it maybe even in a joint practice where, you know, you're going to see it in games, even in a preseason game, where he is deadly. He's so good on schedule. He is lethal off schedule. And you don't see that until the real games begin. But you saw a glimpse of it last night. God, is his vision and feel in the pocket spectacular. One of my sons texted me after that touchdown run, and he said, Dad, I don't think RG3 ever had the vision that JD has. No, two completely different players. Debo Samuel on the list of good. One carry, he looked great. He's my pick, really, to have a huge year. Of the players that, you know, everybody maybe is split on, I'm not talking about the players that we know are very confident will have a big year, like Jaden. But I think Debo's going to have a big year. We'll see, because health is everything. If he's healthy, you know, he has a chance in this offense to have a huge year. Clearly on the list of good, both running backs. Chris Rodriguez is powerful. I think he's got good vision between the tackles. Six carries, 62 yards. That equals 10.3 yards per carry, including that 40-yarder on the opening drive of the game. And then you got Bill Krosky Merritt. Excellent vision, really good burst, 11 for 46, 4.2 yards per carry with that 27-yard counter Trey touchdown run. I was surprised, I don't know about you guys, I was surprised he was in there in the second half of the game. I was curious as to why they wanted to see more of him than Chris Rodriguez. Assuming that both will be on the final roster now with Eckler and McNichols, because I think Eckler and McNichols are givens, and I think, you know, Kroski Merritt, I think, you know, Chris Rodriguez has to be a given. Remember, they only kept three running backs last year on the final 53-man roster before the regular season began. I think they have to keep four. Brian Robinson Jr. will be gone, whether by trade or by release. But I wonder who will take the field in the opener against the Giants on that first offensive drive of the game. I wonder who it'll be. I think that's a conversation we'll get to have here over the next few days, maybe even this morning. I thought it was interesting. I didn't think we needed to see any more of Kroski Merritt. You know, they had other running backs they could put in the game to play out the game with Josh Johnson and Sam Hartman, but there was old Bill in the second half getting carries. On the list of good, John Bates. You know, he is one of the best blocking tight ends in the league, and it is why they prioritized re-signing him when free agency began. They got it done quickly with Bates. They did not want to lose John Bates. He's an extremely valuable part of what they want to be, especially in the run game. I thought the rest of the offensive line, even without, you know, the couple of the pieces, obviously no Cosme, no Coleman, no Tunsil last night, but I thought that the offensive line did a great job. Keep in mind, and I think we all understand this as NFL fans, Cincinnati was horrendous last year on defense. They swapped out defensive coordinators. There's been a lot of discussion, you know, in Cincinnati during the summer that some of their younger players and the new DC, that they're going to be different, and if they can just get Hendrickson back, etc. It's the preseason, they're not game planning, but man, they looked, to me, they looked slow defensively, and they looked feeble defensively, and Washington dominated up front. You know, offensively, you know, in those first two drives, it's really hard to find anything that you don't like. There's one thing that I will mention about the opening drive that I think could be a bit of a negative. I'll get to that when I get to the list of things that were not good in the game. Also on the list of good, I thought Quan Martin was good last night. He nailed the tight end sample right before he got into the end zone on that third and goal. And then he made that big hit on the Chase Brown touchdown run. Brown just barely got the ball to break the plane, but I thought Quan Martin picked up where he left off, you know, towards the end of last year. I'm trying to think. I had somebody on the show not that long ago, a player a few weeks ago, I'm forgetting who it was, who said that Quan Martin has been a standout and there's a lot of belief in that locker room. Who was it?
Was it Smoot?
Did Smoot say that? Smoot really likes Tyler Owens. Was it Johnny Newton? Did Newton say Quan Martin?
I think it might have been Johnny, yeah.
Yeah, it was Johnny Newton who said Quan Martin. Jalen Lane. You know, we've heard a lot about him in this camp. You know, his speed, his playmaking ability. We have a sense that he'll certainly open the season as the number one punt returner, but more on that coming up. He looks the part, man. He looks like he's got really good separation ability off the line of scrimmage. He's got good hands. He obviously is a deep threat. Again, hard to be sure because the Bengals are not great, you know, we don't think, on defense. And some of his work came against backups and even backups to the backups. But three catches and a really good catch on that opening drive of the second half. But 3 for 42, a punt return for 11 yards, a kickoff return for 22. Jalen Lane, to me, you know, looked the part on offense. And I would imagine, in addition to being a punt returner, there's going to be a spot for him to contribute offensively. It'll be interesting with Debo out there and Jalen Lane. You know, we've seen him line up, you know, as, you know, the X. But I don't know what it'll be in the regular season. Defensively, there were a couple of players in addition to Quan Martin that stood out to me. Will Harris stood out to me. Cleland Farrell stood out to me. Dorrance Armstrong, who I think is going to have a big year this year. I have a feeling Armstrong is going to be a really good player for this team. Number 51 on defense,
Ale Cahoe,
yeah, out of UCLA. I thought he just looked like a really good tackler and a very active player. I don't know much about him or what they think about him. Who else is on this list? Tressway had a great punt at the end of the first half, no surprise. But 50 yards net, 53 gross out of your end zone is pretty big. And hey, Matt Gay didn't miss a field goal. His only attempt was a chip shot from 27 yards out. But that was good to see. And, you know, the kickoffs are going to be interesting because everybody's going to be kicking that ball into the landing zone this year. You're not handing the ball to the other team to start at the 35-yard line. All right, the things that I did not like, the bad from the game last night. Again, too many penalties. You know, again, a lot of that is sloppiness associated with players playing with each other that won't necessarily play with each other during the regular season. But two of the big ones came early on the Bengals' opening drive. Frankie Louvu, too excited on 4th-and-3, jumped, gave the Bengals a first down. And then the defensive pass interference with Noah Eye matched up against Jamar Chase, gave the Bengals first and goal. Had a sack by Dietrich Wise that was, you know, basically overturned by a horse collar. I thought that was a questionable horse collar, for what it's worth. 7 penalties for 74 yards. You know, some key penalties defensively on that opening drive. That's not going to make Quinn super happy. They want to clean that up. They want to be, you know, a sharp team, a team that doesn't beat itself. And by the way, helps itself more often than not with takeaways, something that they did not have last night. There was the Burrow, you know, getting sacked on the horse collar play, just unloading the ball in a way in which it would have been a fumble. Cincinnati recovered that. And you had the Cleveland Farrell play on Browning that almost knocked the ball loose, but they called that an incomplete pass. But yeah, they got to, you know, we'll see what happens in the regular season when, you know, all of the starters are playing. But I know that that's probably something that irks the head coach. And I think he mentioned it as part of that opening statement. You know, they gave up to the kid from Purdue, who's now been in the league, what is Charlie Jones? Is this year 3 for him? He is, you know, got real game-breaking ability as a returner. I think he's got a couple of touchdowns in the league. Look that up for me. Doesn't he have a couple of touchdowns in the league in a couple of years as a returner? He took that opening kickoff, and he was just a shred away from breaking it. It was a 30-yard return on the opening kickoff. But last week, giving up Travion Henderson's opening kickoff return for a touchdown, it was almost 2 for 2. So that was something that I'm sure they want to get cleaned up, and we'll see. Look, a lot of starters end up playing on teams, and they don't do that in the preseason. And then Sam Hartman is on the list of things that weren't good from last night. He just doesn't look really as a thrower like an NFL quarterback. You know, Sam Hartman at Wake and then at Notre Dame was, you know, a big-time running quarterback. You know, you had triple-option football when he was at Wake Forest in college, and he had some prolific football games at Wake, you know, when you go back to, like, 2022. You know, but I think that Hartman looks like the odd man out. You know, that might be practice squad. And I think Josh Johnson, if they keep 3, is QB3 on this roster. Johnson threw a bad pick. Hartman just stares down receivers. I mean, he nearly threw a pick 6 on his first throw. He did throw a pick on his second or third throw. He came back in the second half, you know, and had a couple of decent throws. Jalen Lane, you know, bailed him out on one of them. But I don't know. Sam Hartman, to me, doesn't look... This is hardly, you know, an out-on-the-limb statement. He just doesn't look like an NFL quarterback, right? He just doesn't. And Josh Johnson has that mentorship ability like Mariota does, the high IQ. You know, I think if you got down to QB3, God, you know, help us if they do, you would be much better off having Josh Johnson in the game than Sam Hartman. Other observations from the game, a couple of them. First of all, how about Mitchell Tinsley? You know, a guy that was on this roster, signed as an undrafted free agent in 2023. And we saw some of this ability and talent. I thought it was very interesting to hear Joe Burrow talk about Mitchell Tinsley on the sidelines, saying that hopefully he's locked up a spot. He's incredibly smart and is really good. I mean, they are loaded clearly at wide receiver. Too bad he's not here, right? Obviously, I think a lot of people felt the same way. But the two touchdown catches, the catch in the middle of the field where he tipped it to himself, 5 for 73 with two just insanely great touchdown catches. He was, you know, a big part of last night's story in a preseason game. I thought, you know, another observation, I thought it was interesting how many opportunities they gave to Kaz Allen. This is a guy that we've talked about every summer for the last three summers. Ben mentioned him, you know, a few weeks ago as a guy that they like and that they're going to give opportunities to because of his explosiveness. Kaz Allen last night was back for three kickoff returns and was also back on a punt return. Jalen Lane, by the way, was, you know, back on a punt return and also back on a kickoff return. Remember, with the new kickoff rule being that the ball comes out to the 35, not the 30, in a touchback situation, we are going to see a much higher percentage of kickoffs get to the landing zone. You saw that last night, both teams. You know, these little chip kickoffs. It's funny, Washington's were lower kicks into the landing zone. Cincinnati's, I think, a little bit higher with some hang time. You know, it's you can't move until the receiver either touches the ball or the ball hits the ground in the landing zone in terms of those seven players lined up at the 40-yard line. I don't know what they're going to do in the return game, but Kaz Allen, the last coaching staff, loved his upside. This coaching staff clearly loves his upside. The kickoff return rules changing means there are going to be more kickoff return possibilities. Because of the rules, you really have to have two returners back on kickoff returns. Could Kaz Allen make this team as a fifth running back, but also as a primary kickoff returner? I doubt it. That's a lot to keep at the running back position, even though he would be a designated weapon. You know, They clearly gave him an opportunity. And, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, three kickoff returns, 82 yards, 27.3 yards per return, including a 33-yarder where he got flipped into the air. And then, you know, the one punt return, you know, he back there for two of them. He fair caught one of them, and he had a very short return on the other. Jalen Lane, I think, is going to be the punt returner. I think that's one of the reasons they drafted him. And he might be one of the two kickoff returners as well. But Eckler could be that other guy if they want Eckler back on kickoff returns. Do they really want to expose Eckler to that on kickoff returns? Going to be interesting to see what they do. Rodriguez could be that guy on kickoff returns along with, you know, a Jalen Lane. But they definitely gave Kaz Allen, you know, we've seen this. This is the third straight summer of coaching staffs believing in his ability to be a game breaker as a returner. And he showed something last night. Thought last night that Joe Burrow being in the game as long as he was in the game. Look, I'm not a Cincinnati fan. I do like Joe Burrow, but God, he took some shots. Like, Washington defensively was very aggressive last night. You know, even when they didn't blitz but showed blitz, they got after quarterbacks. I thought, by the way, Jake Browning did a phenomenal job in the face of pressure last night. Joe Burrow took an unnecessary hit or two in a preseason game. He got out of it unscathed. But they clearly do not think that doing things the way they've been doing them is a prescription for a fast start. So they completely changed it up. But last night they had Joe Burrow in there after the first series for another two series. Was he in there for three or four? Maybe three total. But it wasn't with other frontline starters, and it was in front of a makeshift offensive line going in. You know, Ben Baby, who covers the team for Cincinnati, said a big concern is kind of the offensive line going into last night's game, which, by the way, I should have added to kind of the good list, which is I thought Washington up front defensively looked great. But again, you know, that was a makeshift and a little bit, you know, injury-plagued offensive line. I couldn't believe, though, how long Joe Burrow was in the game. How about Jaden going to fetch the ball for Bill, you know, after the touchdown run? This guy just gets it. And then I thought Quinn missed a challenge opportunity in the first half. Look, you don't get the obsession over these plays by the broadcast in preseason games. But number 80, Yoshi Vash, who was a big part of what they did last year, you know, is kind of their third receiver. I thought he had a catch over the middle where he was then stripped, and I thought the ball was out before his knee hit the ground. There was no challenge of that. He did challenge something else, though. I think that's it. I think that's pretty much it. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. What did you like? What didn't you like? If you want to weigh in on my thoughts on Terry no-showing, have at it. If you want to weigh in on which of the two, Chris Rodriguez or Bill Kroski-Merritt, is going to be in the starting backfield on opening day, you can weigh in on that. I do not have a guess on that. Rodriguez was the first one in last night, right? He was with the first team offense on that opening drive. I don't know if that's the clue, because I don't think we're going to see much of anybody else. And we also saw Kroski-Merritt in the game in the second half. We did not see Rodriguez in the game in the second half. You know, we've all liked Rodriguez. I think we have. I have. I think a lot of you have felt the same way, because every opportunity we've had to see him in an actual regular season game, he's looked the part as a runner. There was always kind of this disconnect with, what don't they love about him? Why do they keep cutting him? Why do they keep bringing him back? Why do they keep putting him on the practice squad? I think there was a lot of other stuff going on, but he is talented as a runner. He is powerful. He's yards after contact. He's great in short yardage. You know, he came up big in the Atlanta game, you know, in the fourth quarter of that game. I think he's got good vision between the tackles. But I think Kroski-Merritt has, you know, other attributes, same level of vision, but a bigger burst, you know, more of a home run threat. I think my feeling yesterday on the show was that Brian Robinson Jr. is going to be replaced, you know, in the aggregate, as, you know, Billy Beane might say on Moneyball. But, you know, by committee, really, which is a mix of Debo, Kroski-Merritt, Rodriguez, Eckler, that's the way they will do it. McNichols. And they feel like that overall group just is a much better situation than bringing Brian Robinson Jr. back at $3.4 million, not only in payout, but in salary cap space. And you don't get anything back for B-Rob next year. You might get something back now, although I think that's, you know, dicey. And I think it's a 50-50 coin flip on whether or not they end up releasing him or whether they get, you know, a conditional sixth or seventh back for him. All right, phone lines open, 301-230-0980. You'll hear sound throughout the morning from Dan Quinn and others from postgame, and some of the highlights from last night as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, The Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app. Don't forget, you can stream us, watch us on our Team 980 YouTube channel, and all of our training camp and preseason segments here on Team 980 are brought to you nationally by Geico. Switch and save. Get more with Geico.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Bill Barnwell is going to be on the show with us today at 11. I love having Bill on. He wrote recently about five NFL teams that he thinks can make a big season out of one that is not expected, similar to what Washington did last year. Bill Barnwell at 11, the only guest on the show. Practice at 2 today out in Ashburn. It'll be their last full practice before the final preseason game Saturday at 12. They'll have more of a walkthrough tomorrow, but Dan Quinn is scheduled to speak at 1:30 before the practice. And I would imagine, based on what Ben Standing and a few other people that I've talked to have said, the question will be asked today about Terry McLaurin's absence on Monday night. This from Darren to kick off the show. Darren, I think I know you, by the way. This is, I think, the first, Darren, if it's the Darren that I think I've known you for a while. I'll just leave it at that. Anyway, he writes, Kevin, I've been listening to you for years. I've become fluent in reading between your information lines. When you know something, you don't always say it, but you say it, if you know what I mean. But I can't figure out why you need to dance around the Terry issue. At this point, hasn't it become obvious? His agent is the issue and has been all along. Thank you, Darren, for that. And say hello to your brother, if this is the Darren that I think it is. So I know what you're saying, and yes, because reporting's not really my thing, when I do have things, it's often because it was presented in, you know, an off the record or for background purposes or for me to be able to use to speak somewhat intelligently with more clarity on a certain situation. But I disagree. I think I've been pretty direct on this Terry thing all along in terms of what I've known. I mentioned the agent even before the Eastern Motors, Warren Peace length press conference. And I have been more supportive of the way the team has handled this since the jump. But I have to say that my support of the team wasn't based on anything I knew from the jump. It was just, I don't know. And maybe I'll turn out to be wrong, because I was dead wrong on Terry getting a deal before training camp, that's for sure. But it was more, connecting the dots, making sense of what, I think makes sense. if that makes sense. But now, look, bottom line now, you know, certainly have talked to various people over the last week, week and a half. And I think I've been adamant on this. I think the team is nearing very much kind of a breaking point. I think they have had it with Team Terry. And if Team Terry doesn't get a clue and get a sense of reality soon, they're going to leave $50 million on the table. And I am at that point, when that gets left and is pulled and is no longer an option, I will certainly in that moment, you know, always, you know, open to a different version of it. When we look back on it historically, if there's more information, but I will definitely think that in that moment, Terry made a massive mistake by listening to his agent and by not taking control of the situation as the player. He's the customer in that relationship. You know, he does not have to do what his agent tells him to do if he totally disagrees with it. Yeah, I think... if you want me to be, you know, super succinct and to the point and direct, I think the team is nearing its breaking point. As I said yesterday, I thought it was pretty clear. Terry's very close to being treated as a holdout, no longer a hold-in. And we'll see what happens and what develops during the course of the week. But he is nearing that line of no return to a $50 million or whatever that number actually is, somewhere in that range, guaranteed, you know, opportunity to put into his bank account. And I think if that does happen and he ends up playing this final year on his existing deal, he'll look back on it and view it as a massive mistake. Massive mistake. It just doesn't make any sense for a player like Terry. Okay, this isn't Jerry Rice. Somebody sent me something. I got to find it. Somebody sent me something that says, oh, well, Jerry Rice and Marvin Harrison got big deals after they were 30. Jerry Rice and Marvin Harrison. You know, just like with Tariq Hill and Devontae Adams. We're not talking, that's apples and oranges. Terry's not those players. Even the most ardent and fanatical Terry McLaurin fans would never put him into that category. But his agent might put him into that category. But yeah, this is, you know, this is an opportunity that hopefully for him, he doesn't look back 2-3 years down the road and see it as a massive mistake. Because again, there's nobody in their right mind, nobody in their right mind that knows what's going on from an agent side, a player side, a team side, a fan side, a media side, that would say the chances of him getting what he wants next year are much greater or even greater or even equal to the chances he has of getting less, but still a lot now. Not going to happen, you know, entering his age 31 season. Can't see it happening anyway. This from Thomas. Thomas writes, Kevin, what makes you so sure that Jaden Daniels is going to have a better sophomore year? I love when we put NFL terms in terms of freshmen and sophomores. We rarely get to junior and senior years. That's just year 3 and year 4. What makes you so convinced that Jaden Daniels is going to have a better sophomore year than his rookie season? C.J. Stroud would be an example of step back. This has been a tiring subject during the off season, but off of the one play on Monday night, it just reminded, I think everybody, certainly reminded me, oh my God, we have a quarterback. We have an elite level quarterback. And I think I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but nobody says about Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. And to me, that's the class that he's in. I do believe that. And that's why I don't see a sophomore slump season coming. But I don't see anybody ever saying about those guys, Yeah, lots of comebacks. Great year, but they can't duplicate it. That was Mahomes after his rookie year. That was Josh Allen after the first year starting. Lamar the same. Statistically, maybe it won't look like what it looked like last year. It's possible it'll look as good, but different. Maybe a lot more passing yards. Maybe less rushing yards. Maybe more touchdowns throwing than he had touchdowns running, or and less touchdowns running. I don't know what it'll look like. I just don't see a player with not only the flaws that might indicate a step back season, but any sort of questions about the intangible stuff that would lead to a step back season. Like, yeah, you know, he got a little bit full of himself. Seems to be, you know, really enjoying that rookie of the year season that fell a game short of the Super Bowl. Still some questions about his maturity. Still some questions about his work ethic. There's none of that. None of that. It's the opposite of that. People constantly offering up what a pro he is, how mature he is, how he's taking a next step in terms of leadership, you know, more vocal leadership, booting the player out of the huddle a few weeks ago in camp. I just don't see it. I don't see the case you could make for a step back season. Now, if you want to say no Terry, I would say, but why would you say no Terry? He's under contract, repetitive, pain in the ass, constantly repeating this. But he's going to play. He has to play. You know, somebody mentioned to me the other day, you know, you keep saying he has to play, and you keep saying that they're clueless and they're delusional as to what their worth is. They may be clueless and delusional as to what a holdout would cost them. That's fair. That's true. I doubt that that's the case, though. It'd be really hard for the agent to say holding out would be the best thing for you at 30 years old when, you know, the tide is turned in terms of the way people view this thing. Maybe they don't see it that way. You know, sometimes when you're inside it, you don't see what people see from the outside. But how could you make the case other than to say, man, you're so good, the team's going to fall apart without you out there, and they're going to come back begging for you to play week three against the Raiders with the DK Metcalf deal, with, you know, or better than the Metcalf deal in guaranteed money. You know, $75 million guaranteed, $33 million a year, four-year deal, most of it guaranteed. Yeah, they're going to come begging. That's the, you know, that is the one plausible scenario that you get a holdout. If they are so delusional that they are looking at that as less than a long shot, less than an inside straight, and they try to play that hand. You know, first of all, even if the team wasn't as successful offensively without him, like, it was so noticeable and it cost them, you know, against the Giants and the Packers and their 0-2. I still don't think that this team's going to budge and cave to what Terry wants. I don't see that happening. I think they think it's wrong that it was, you know, that they are just so far off, as others have reported, clearly. But back to Jaden, I just don't see a fall off. I don't. I mean, injury is the one concern you have, you know, and it's not a serious injury, but it could be a nagging injury that ends up, you know, impacting the play. You know, if they end up with another season of bad defensive football, the context of these games could change. That's possible. You know, I if the defense is, you know, bad, or what it was last year, or even worse, and I don't see that happening. I don't. I think there's a chance it's going to be improved. I'm not going to believe it until I see it in a real game, because there are so many new pieces. But I do have some level of, you know, I think hope. Hope's a good thing, Red. I do think that year two alone, along with the players they had last year who were good players, Sanristil, Luvu, Wagner, And then what they added, you know, if those players can play, I think there's a chance they'll be better. But if they are what they were last year or even a step back, you know, that could change the context of games. You know, there wasn't really a moment other than the opener last year where they didn't have a chance to win a game that they were in. Every single game they were in last year, with the exception of the NFC Championship game, but even that game, hate to keep coming back to this because many people, especially Philly fans, laugh and they just hold up 55-23. But the truth is it was 34-23 and Washington was driving with the football and they had been moving the football and they had a chance, if not for another turnover, to make it 34-29 or 34-31 late third quarter, early fourth quarter. That would have been a ball game. I don't think they would have ever won because they couldn't stop Philadelphia. Philadelphia could have named their number in that championship game. 55 was where it landed, but if it needed to be 65, it would have been that. That's how bad Washington was defensively in the game. But last year, other than the opener and then the title game, they were in every game. Every single game. The Baltimore game on the road. The Pittsburgh game at home. The Philly game on the road on that Thursday night. They had the lead going into the fourth quarter. I didn't feel like they were the better team. I felt like they were fortunate to have that lead. And I think the better team won that game that night. The Dallas game, you know, missed extra point from overtime. They were in every game. We know this. Every game seemed to come down to the last drive or the last quarter. And the context, if your defense is bad again this year, could be different. You know, if there's pressure to score on almost every drive, or let's just say, you know, an average of 10 drives per game, 10 and a half drives per game, I think is the average. You got to score on 50 to 60% of them to have a chance. That kind of context is, you know, that can wear a team out, that can put a team into one-dimensional football. You know, if they're behind, and you could see some moments from Jaden that maybe you didn't see last year. Pressing, down two scores, fourth quarter, taking chances that you wouldn't necessarily take if the context of the game was different. But overall, man, I don't see at all a chance of him like being a completely different player or even a step back where we're like, yeah, that wasn't the guy we saw last year. I don't see it. I don't see it at all. All right. I want to get to this. We've now had the two preseason games, and Saturday's game is honestly not a game that's going to matter much. I doubt many people who are going to play or even be on the roster in week one, but more importantly, be contributors in week one, they're likely going to be held out of this Baltimore game. You know, it may have been different had the Baltimore game been on a Saturday at 12 after a Saturday night game against Cincinnati. But, you know, short week and doubly short week because it's not a Sunday game. It's a Saturday game after a Monday night game. Nobody's playing on Saturday, more likely than not. So we have, you know, what we have in terms of what we've been able to watch, along with, you know, a lot of joint practice discussion and intra-squad scrimmage discussion. And we're now nearing that point where, look, we are no longer, you know, in the summer weeks of no football. There's college football, real college football this Saturday. Next week, you'll have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday night college football. And that'll lead us into week one. You know, we'll have cuts coming up, you know, late next week. Is that the cutdown date? Pull that up. I think it's late next week. The cutdown to 53.
Pulling up that date. Right now.
I think it's like Thursday at 4. Is that right?
August 26th, 4 p.m., yeah. Most clubs must reduce roster to a maximum
August
of
26th would be a week from yesterday. That would be Tuesday at 4.
Correct.
Okay. So the cut down to 53 is Tuesday at 4. You know, that'll be an interesting day, I guess. I think they go into these things, most teams, with basically, you know, 49 to 51 of the players they know. And, you know, especially with teams that are really good, it's the battle for 2 to 3, you know, sometimes 4 to 5 roster spots. Anyway, here's what I want to know. We've gone through now more than half of camp, preseason, et cetera, and we're going to get into very quickly the countdown days to the opener. What concerns you the most? Thomas believes that it's a step back year for the quarterback. What's your number one concern as it relates to this team entering the regular season? And obviously, Terry McLaurin is a concern, even if you're team front office like I am in terms of who's handling it more. I want both sides to win here. I want both sides to feel good about it. I want a deal. That's what I want the conclusion to be. But in terms of, a somewhat intellectual conversation, most of our conversations are not. But, who do you think's handling it the best? I think the team's been handling it the best. That's the way I feel, and I feel that I'm pretty close to right on that. But there could be some history down the road that says, yeah, some of this that was happening in the moment wasn't what it appeared to be. But anyway, what's your number one concern entering the regular season? Be specific, too. Just the defense is a concern for me, no doubt. I'm going into this thinking offensively with Cliff, with Jaden, with an improved offensive line, with Debo, with Terry, because I'm assuming he will be there, with Ertz, as Doc referred to Ertz on my podcast the other day, called him Jaden's Binky. I just think offensively, I'm confident that this is going to be a really good football team again. A top five-ish kind of offense in the NFL. I am concerned about the defense, but I'll get specific in terms of what my biggest concern is defensively when we come back. But at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, what is the thing that's bothering you the most about our team as we will be in, very shortly, the countdown mode to the regular season? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. Don't forget, you can download the Odyssey app, and from there, you can watch this show on our Team 980 YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button and hit the like button when you get there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This summer, your AC has been working overtime because it has been hot, although it's been nice this week. But the heat and humidity have increased your air conditioning bills, maybe exponentially, especially if you've got older windows. If you've got older windows, 10 years of age or older, my recommendation is to give Window Nation a call and have them come out and give you a free estimate for new windows. You'll save a ton on air conditioning and heating bills. Your home will look much better. You know, you need high quality, best insulated windows versus those old builder grade windows. And right now you can get access to Window Nation's most popular offer of the year. 50% off all window styles. You don't have to pay anything for 2 years. No money down, no payments, and no interest for 2 full years. The first step is to call Window Nation at 866-90-NATION or to go to windownation.com. Tell them that I told you to call. They'll schedule a free in-home estimate. No obligation, no pressure. They'll schedule it for you when it's convenient for you. It'll take an hour or less. You'll actually find out which windows need to be replaced. Window Nation was recently ranked highest on the Forbes list of best window installation companies. You can trust Window Nation for high quality, affordable windows with first class customer service. 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. All right, joining us right now is one of my favorites, Bill Barnwell, writer for ESPN.com, at Bill Barnwell on X on Twitter. By the way, I saw that you just tweeted out something, and this will be my next read. I guess you were a contributor as a quote or two in this story in the Wall Street Journal about college football. The title of the story, it's Run Out of Geniuses, and Mike Leach and Chip Kelly are, you know, front and center on it. So that may be another conversation for another day, because I think, you know, without you getting into the details of this, I've always said, Bill, and I'm wondering if you feel the same way, the innovation in football, especially on offense, has always come from lower levels, high school and college in particular. The NFL's always, you know, taken ideas from those levels of football on offense. True or not?
I agree with you. I should say I did not contribute to this article, so I just read it. But I agree with you. I do think that necessity is the mother of invention, right? I mean, if you're a high school team and you're playing a school that has significantly better athletes than you, or a college team where you're playing schools that have significantly more resources for recruiting, better athletes than you, you have to invent, you have to create, you have to do something that other teams are not doing. And this is not just a on-field thing. I think about, you know, going back 25 years now to the beginning of the analytics era in baseball and Moneyball, the Oakland A's started using data, started using numbers because they couldn't compete financially. Right. If you are not able to compete, you do that. But the difference is in the NFL, obviously everyone, at least in theory, has access to the same resources. There's not that, you know, you're not going up against 35 stars and you have no five stars. There's gaps, there's differences, but you have to do it at the high school level. You have to do it at the college level. So I think that is the necessity of the mother, as the mother invention, is a real thing when it comes to sports. And so I don't think there's the same pressure, or has been the same pressure, to create and evolve at the NFL level in the last 40 years as there's been at the college level.
You know, it's so funny. I was watching Moneyball the other day, just randomly it was on. And whenever it's on, it's like, you know, it's that list of like 10 to 15 movies that when it's on, it's like, oh God, I gotta watch that. And then you're stupid to watch it with the commercials. But I think my favorite line in that movie is the initial session with Billy Bean and his scouts. And you see, first of all, one guy's like, who's Fabio? But the other guy says, well, his girlfriend's ugly. She's a six. Well, what does that mean? It means he's got a lack of confidence. That whole scene sets the table for the rest of it, but it's such a great scene. All right. So before we get into, you know, our team and the five most likely that you wrote about to take a step back, the five most likely to take a step forward, do you take anything out of the preseason?
Yes and no. It depends on the context of what I'm looking for. So I do take usage. I do think usage matters. Are you playing with the ones? Are you playing with the twos? How are people using you? How are people using your, you know, how are you being used in the context of the team? That stuff does matter to me. And I do want to see, you know, sort of, can you compete against guys on your level? You know, are you dominant? If you're a backup, are you dominating the guys around you? Okay, that's meaningful. It doesn't mean that you're going to be a great player, but maybe you have the ability to graduate up. If you're playing with the ones, do you look like you belong? But in terms of the scheme, in terms of what we're actually going to see from teams during the regular season, no. And I do go back to, I mean, that famous commander, or not commander, back in the previous days, when Washington played the Saints in week one. And they had not run any of the
zone
read stuff. They were going to run with RG3. And the Saints looked like they had seen ghosts the entire game. I mean, it was, you know, that's an extreme example. But I do think if you're an offensive coach, if you're a defensive coach, you might dial up a blitz or two. You might dial up, you know, a run concept or two you like. But I think it does at this point make sense to kind of keep your motion, keep the stuff that you're, you know, your game plan. I mean, you're not game planning against the team. You're not coming up with stuff that's going to match what they do. So in terms of like the scheme, in terms of what we're seeing, I don't think so. I'm thinking, you know, can you transcend versus what the expectations are for you on a given play, and who are you playing with are the two most important things.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's even less so now because you just don't see the players that are going to play in regular season games on the field much. By the way, back to the 2012 opener, shock and awe, as we called it around these parts, the opener, the RG3 debut against the Saints. The funny thing is, in a mini camp session, they were lining him up in the pistol, Bill. And I said, that's the pistol. That's what Nevada runs in college. Because I'm a bigger college football fan than I am a pro football fan. And like somebody eventually, I talked about it on the air, and somebody came over and said, you know, that's not really the pistol. You don't really know what you're talking about. And of course it was. It was. And they debuted it against the Saints. And, you know, it was, you know, something that no one could have ever planned for. All right.
Right.
Before, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. I agree with you. It's funny because the Chiefs ran it for a year, like 5 years earlier with Tyler Thigpen, and it was in and out of the league. And I was like, well, that was a cool little quirk. We'll never see that again. And then shows up with the Commanders, and it's a totally different offense.
Well, remember, too, because a lot of people that cover the NFL just don't watch a lot of college football. You can tell. You had, you know, major reporters and analysts calling it the wishbone and calling it the veer. And I was hearing all these names. I'm like, oh, my God, just watch college football one Saturday. This is, you know, and the idea that it was the wildcat and that it would be shut down. You know, Mike said to me, Shanahan said to me very early on, 11-on-11 football is why this will never go away. When the quarterback's involved in the run game, you've got 10 blocking instead of 9 blocking when he hands the ball off to a running back. It's never going to go away if you've got that guy that is a good decision maker. He doesn't even have to be super athletic, and we've seen that over the years. You know, not every quarterback that runs dual threat stuff, zone read, etc., is the fastest guy. It's just decision making, ball handling, things like that.
Yeah, and you go back to the beginning of last season with Jaden Daniels. Remember how sparse they were and how specific and concise they were with when they used Jaden Daniels as an actual runner. The threat of Jaden Daniels as a runner changed the math for the defense because they had to account for him, even though I'm guessing on first and second down on a lot of those plays, he was just giving. There was not like a read, even though he might be looking like he was reading, he was always giving the ball. It was always going to be a handoff. But then on third and fourth down, which we're going to talk about, I'm sure, that was a situation where he had the ability to read. There were some design run stuff. In the red zone, they would run design runs with Jaden Daniels. They were very selective, but even just the threat of him doing it 20% of the time meant teams had to account for it 100% of the time. And that, you know, even if you're not running at all, they can still make a difference on how defenses have to approach you.
100% right. I mean, I remember again, you know, Kyle and Mike saying it's the presentation of Robert as a potential runner on every play. Even if it's not an option, even if we are, you know, it is going to be a handoff. That's what we're doing, or we're going to go play action. He said early on, he said, the presentation of my quarterback as a runner on every play is the best pass pro that you can provide the quarterback. Yep. Because of the hesitation the defense had on that first, you know, kind of mesh, with the runner in the backfield. Back then it was Alfred Morris. Yeah. Interesting.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about what you just wrote about yesterday. The five teams predicting the teams most likely to decline from last year's performance. I won't bury the lead. Washington is one of those teams that you have on this list. Why?
Oh, we were having such fun reminiscing about the old days and just of how great. Now I have to sit here and disparage the Commanders. I mean, there's elements of what we saw last year that are tough to sustain. And I think if you're a Commanders fan, you can probably be realistic and say, okay, yeah, we're not going to get a Hail Mary to win a game again. We're not going to have, even though they lost this game, actually, we're not going to get an 86-yard Terry McLaurin touchdown in the final 30 seconds of the game against the Cowboys. That stuff, I think people are realistic about these days. But what I do think is, I look at how they played and how they won games last year. They were 8-2 in one score games. History tells us that is tough to keep up year after year. Even if you have a great coach, even if you have a great quarterback, and I think the Commanders do in both cases, that is tough to keep up year after year. I look at how they won, and I mentioned the fourth down stuff, and they're great on fourth down, and I expect them to be very good on fourth down again. They were 20 of 23 on fourth down during the regular season. There's never been a team that's been as active on fourth down that converted as often as the Commanders did on fourth down last year ago. And they got 115 points on drives that included at least one fourth down conversion last year. Most of any team we can find in our data, I would assume, because teams go for it more often on fourth down now than they did in the past, but most in NFL history. That's sort of like the quantitative stuff. We can talk about the roster stuff and some of the construction stuff, but I would start there just in terms of as good as they are, as good as I think Jaden Daniels is, they were so incredible in those very meaningful situations that it's tough for me to see them keeping that up again.
So what about I went back and looked at a couple of things. First of all, you know, last year Patrick Mahomes had 7 game-winning drives, 5 fourth-quarter comebacks. I don't think, does anybody, and I haven't read your write-up on Kansas City yet because you've got Kansas City on the list, does anybody think, because he is a cheat code, which, by the way, I would say that Jaden Daniels might be as well, is anybody predicting that he's not capable of that this year? He may not face those situations, the same number of situations, but if he does, there's no math that says he's going to go backwards if he's faced with that many situations because he is a cheat code, right?
Right, right. To me, it's not Patrick Mahomes is going to be bad in those situations, but it's just the other stuff that came into play for a team like the Chiefs is not going to happen again. You know, they blocked a 35-yard field goal against the Broncos that was going to win them the game. That's not going to happen again. They're not going to – the Raiders aren't going to fumble a snap in field goal range when they're down 2 like they did. You know, Isaiah Likely's foot in the opener last year, by a toenail, he was out of bounds, and the Ravens were going to go for 2. Who knows if they get it, but, you know, that's not going to happen again. It's not that these guys aren't good. It's just you have a really small sample for some of these situations. You know, for a fourth down, hitting 50% of your fourth downs in a good year is a good number. The Commanders were at 80% last year.
Sure.
So even if they're still one of the best teams in the league on fourth down, that's still a major step backwards, and that leads to, you know, shorter fields for the opposing team, depending on where the fourth downs are, obviously fewer points. You know, that can swing a game or two on its own. So, you know, there are these things that even if you're really good at something, it is just so tough to be a historical outlier. And to me, I think in those fourth down situations, they were not just great. They were a historic generational outlier on fourth down versus the rest of the league.
Right. And I get that. And I was going to bring up another example, which is I went back and I looked at Josh Allen's first year as a full-time starter. Another, you know, inside straight multiple times in multiple games. They went 10-6, if you recall. They were in that playoff game, and they ended up losing to the Texans. But he had like five game-winning drives, four fourth-quarter comebacks. The next year, he didn't have quite as many because he didn't need them. They were dominant offensively, and they annihilated a lot of teams. So how do you... how do you deal with that possibility that year two ends up being even a better quarterback, a better offensive football team, and they're not faced with the context of having to deliver on 20 of 23 fourth downs?
That's totally true. And that is absolutely, I think, a realistic possibility for the Commanders, is that their underlying level of play improves dramatically. And I'll bring up a team that I was very wrong about last year, the 2024 Philadelphia Eagles, where the numbers said they were likely to decline. And what changed, of course, is that they had a defense that went from having a bunch of holes to an all-pro linebacker they weren't expecting in Zach Bond, two star cornerbacks, young guys, and
rookies,
Mitchell and DeJean. You know, they got better, and then they had Saquon, who's a first-team all-pro as well. They got such a significant impact from their players that their underlying level of play improved. So they didn't need to win as many close games. They didn't need to, convert as many tush pushes or fourth downs. Their margin for error increased dramatically. And so we'll talk about the 2025 Commanders, I'm sure, and their underlying level of play and the changes they've made. But to me, that's the story, I think, I would say. You know, I don't think if they play the exact same way they played last year, to me, they are a 10-win team. Nothing wrong with that, but I think they're not going to get the same results with that level of play. Could improve their level of play in year two at Dan Quinn? Of course.
Bill Barnwell, ESPN, joining us. So let's talk about how you see the roster. And by the way, you know, some significant differences to the roster from where it was last year.
Oh, yeah. Of course. And I mean, one of those, unfortunately, is we still don't know what's going to happen with Terry McLaurin. You know, I think there's a lot of similarities to me between this team and the 2024 Houston Texans, where that team got better very quickly in that breakout year from their young quarterback because they had a lot of veteran players already on the roster. In Houston, Nick Caserio signed a lot of guys to one-year deals. They had a lot of players who were just plug and play. We're a solid pro. We're going to give you, you know, we're going to give you 60 honest minutes. And those guys, surrounded by a couple of young superstars, were able to get better very quickly. With the Commanders, I think a very similar situation. One of the oldest teams in football last year and one of the healthiest teams in football last year, which is an interesting combination.
Sure.
You know, because of the Rivera era, because of the draft picks from the Rivera era, many of them are not around. Unfortunately, one of the best ones, Sam Cosmi, is dealing with his injury from the postseason. He's probably not going to be ready to start the year. You know, this is an older roster than I think people realize. So there's not as many players you'd sit here and say, okay, we're expecting them to be a breakout candidate. You look at Mike Sanders still, for example. That's a really good option. But, you know, this team's going to have veteran starters throughout the lineup, which there's nothing wrong with necessarily, but there's not those guys who are going to, you know, you would expect to take major leaps forward versus how they played last year. And then look at this year with the draft. I mean, because they traded for Deebo Samuel, because they traded for Laremy Tunsil, trades I have no issue with. It made sense. Trade for Marshawn Lattimore last year. They had three top 200 picks, so they're not getting a ton of young talent imported this year. Obviously, they're excited about Josh Connolly. They're excited about Trey Amos. They should be, but, you know, who knows if those guys are instant impact players when we actually get to Sundays during the regular season. So when we talk about how you're going to improve your underlying level of play, the easiest way to do that is to have a bunch of young players break through or have players who massively exceed expectations versus what we would expect, which was happening with the Eagles last year. There's just not that many players, you know, in key roles in this organization where they are on the way up. You know, for so many guys, it's either you're at your peak or you're on the way down. And so that to me is the tough part. It's not that I don't think the players are good. It's just, I think, you know, outside of Daniels, outside of Sanders still, outside of maybe a couple more guys, a lot of these guys are already either they were good last year and they're baked in and they're hoping they'll be the same play this year, or they're on at the point of their careers where someone like a Zach Gertz, someone like a Bobby Wagner, you know, it's more likely they decline versus more likely they improve.
You brought up the Houston example of, you know, I think it's interesting because there's no doubt that it was a step back year statistically and in many other ways for CJ Stroud. But they did win 10 games and they won a playoff game in which he started off poorly and then played very well in the comeback over the Chargers. What is your answer?
Yeah.
to when people say to you, well, the league's going to figure Jaden Daniels out and he's going to have, you know, that sophomore slump season?
Yeah, I don't buy that. I mean, you brought up the, you know, the RG3 example, and obviously it's a totally different situation in so many ways.
But yes,
the idea that, you know, it's 11-on-11 football, you know, the advantages Jaden Daniels provides in the run game are not going anywhere. That's not going to change. Again, I think they're going to be thoughtful and selective about when they want to incorporate him into the run game. But this is a phenomenal passer. It's not like this is a gimmicky quarterback. It's not like this is something that, you know, teams aren't running. He was great as a drop back passer last year. He was great in terms of his timing. He was great against the blitz. He was great at adjusting stuff. I mean, he was a complete player. You know, to the extent there might be a sophomore slump, there's randomness that pops up, of course. And C.J. Stroud had a crazy low interception rate his first year through no fault of his own, just because of the sheer reality of playing in the NFL. I expected that to increase in year two, and it did. But it doesn't make him a bad quarterback or there's a second year slump. It's just, you know, you're only getting 500 pass attempts. There's going to be variance based on, you know, you might have 8 balls a year that are interceptable. On a good year, they all fall to the ground. On a terrible year, 6 of them get picked off. On an average year, maybe 2 or 3 get picked off. I think he just had an average year. So I don't see anything in Jaden Daniels' style of play, his performance, the underlying metrics. And if you think he is a fluke, the only thing that I would raise as a concern, and I don't think this is likely, and I don't predict injuries, but there's that possibility because he get hurt. And that's the only thing that would make me be nervous about Jaden Daniels. But I don't see anything about his play that makes me think he's about to take a step backwards.
Do you have a view on the Terry McLaurin situation?
I'd like to think there's a middle ground that makes sense, right? You know, obviously, in terms of the person, everything I've heard, Terry McLaurin is a very valued part of the organization. He obviously had to endure some very inconsistent, shall we say, quarterback play. You know, it's shocking how many quarterbacks he's already played with throughout his career. I think everybody was rooting for him to get on a winner. He's on a winner now. I don't think he's going to have more success going elsewhere. So it makes sense for him to stay from that perspective. I mean, this is what the math comes down to for me. And I think for Terry McLaurin as well. The Commanders see Mike Evans got $41 million over 2 years guaranteed, basically. Cortland Sutton got in the same ballpark, 41, 42. Calvin Ridley, a little more. But those guys are all 30 or older. When they sign their deals, which Terry McLaurin is going to be, DK Metcalf got 60 over 2 years because the Steelers traded for him. And I think if you're Terry McLaurin, you have every right to ask for more. I mean, you've been just as productive of a player with realistically worse quarterback play. But I think the Commanders are seeing those other comps as more meaningful. I'd like to think if that number can get to 52, 53, 54, I would hope that both sides would get a deal done. I think it's benefiting everyone involved, but I mean, you know, I can see where Terry McLaurin is coming from. To me, I think this is a deal just for the purposes of, you know, you have a quarterback on a bargain deal. If you're going to make a splurge, you're going to go a little beyond what your budget is for a position. I think wide receiver, and I think for this player, this person, it would make sense to me.
All right. Let's finish up with this. Your two lists, and I wanted to ask you, did you put them in the order of confidence level for you in terms of the teams that you expected to improve and the teams that you expected to decline?
Decline?
Because they're not listed alphabetically.
Yes, I think, improve was, some years there's an obvious one. Last year the Chargers were the most obvious improved candidate to me I could have thought of in years. And so I put them first because it was the obvious pick to me. This year, I would say improve is sort of more muddled. Decline, yes, because the Chiefs were the first 10-0 team in the history of the NFL, and they basically needed to perform a miracle every week to win against some bad football teams late in the year. So I think they're an obvious one. But after one, I would say it's probably more kind of in the muddled side of things. I think the Lions are probably just as likely to decline as the Commanders are.
Right. And by the way, the decline being relative, like you said, you could see them winning 10 games this year, which is a decline by 2 regular season games. Is that what you're predicting, by the way, 10-7? Something like that?
Yeah, that's the number I throw out there is 10-7. And again, I mean, you know, we saw with the Browns last year, for example, they were an 11-win team. I probably would have said, okay, you know, maybe 7-8 wins, but their quarterback is a nightmare and he gets hurt. They have a lot of injuries on the offensive line. Their defense right. is more consistent than I would have expected. They drop all the way to 3 wins. So there is a pretty big variance here, but I think, you know, try to put a number out there. 10 is the number for me.
All right. I was actually more interested in, I want to finish with this, because your first team on the list of teams most likely to improve is the team that I've been thinking about all offseason as well. So are the Giants for you the team that you feel most confident in terms of improving because they were listed first?
Yeah, I mean, again, I
they were 3-14. I mean, what kind of improvement? But do you see them as a potential playoff right. team?
Oh, gosh. I think they have to get the quarterback situation right. And I think that's, you know, you don't need an expert to come on and say that. I don't know that I'm an expert, but right. I mean, if Jaxson Dart is, he's not going to be Jaden Daniels, but if he could be Bo Nix from last year, that's the path for me. If they can get a Bo Nix level performance from Jaxson Dart early on in the year, I think they can pull this off. The concern is the schedule, right? I mean, it's the toughest schedule in football by ESPN's metrics. But yeah. this team had a legitimately great pass rush the first half of the year. They have a great receiver. I still believe in Brian Daboll. I think he's somehow gotten up as a bad coach because he, you know, managed to coax a playoff performance out of Daniel Jones. It feels like he's almost being punished for doing a really good job his first year. I still think there's a good team there, and I think they're going to be a lot better in the red zone. They're really unlucky there, really unlucky in one-score games. I would think they fall just short because of the schedule, but if they're massively improved and they get lucky, that could be a playoff team for sure.
Yeah, I think they're going to be pesky week in and week out for good teams. They're good defensively. Yes. Last team I want to ask you about, if the 49ers with their star players stay healthy, can they win the Super Bowl?
Yes, they can. And the guy for me that nobody is talking about, and I'm not really sure why, is Robert Saleh. Because that is a coach who, for whatever faults he had as a head coach in New York, he developed a ton of young players and a ton of waiver wire guys in San Francisco and in New York to being real successful contributors very quickly. And that's what the Niners have to do. Now that you've paid Brock Purdy, you have to find rookie contract deal guys and waiver wire guys, get more out of less. And they have a guy who can do that. Saleh to me is such a difference maker on defense. I think that was the, you know, outside of Ben Johnson, I think that was one of the two or three biggest coaching hires of the entire offseason was getting Saleh as the DC there. That's a major upgrade for them. They're going to be healthier, and they're going from the hardest schedule in football to the easiest. To me, that is going to be a playoff team that has actual Super Bowl upside if they can stay healthy.
All right, I lied. I got one more. If Stafford's healthy, do you consider the Rams to be a Super Bowl contender?
Ooh, I don't know. I want to. To me, I think Jared Verse is my... I was going on a podcast, and I was going to say Jared Verse is my pick for Defensive Player of the Year.
Wow.
And I felt really smart. And then my colleague, Robert Mays, I asked him before I even said it, and he said Jared Verse is my pick for Defensive Player of the Year. And I was furious because he beat me to it. But then I was like, maybe this isn't quite as, you know, unlikely of an opinion. He was so good last year in that game against the Eagles, and so good down the stretch for the Rams. That is a really promising young defense. They have questions about their health on offense. I think if they can keep everyone healthy, not just Stafford, but Albert Jackson, the left tackle, has to stay healthy. He's doing the blood clots. Puka Nacua, I mean, they're a different offense with him on the field. I do think they have that upside, but I think it's more than just Stafford. I think it has to be all their key pieces on offense, because I do think they're going to suffer if they can't protect Stafford, and they've had trouble doing that at times in the past.
It's interesting. Jared Verse, to me, that is definitely a reach pick. I mean, he was so good as a rookie, as you said. But with the likes even in the conference of guys like Jalen Carter and Micah Parsons, and then, you know, you flip it to Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt, et cetera, that he's a hell of a player, though. It's coming. That is for sure. Thank you, as always. I always enjoy the conversation.
Yeah, I just wish I had more optimistic things to say. I feel like last year we were always on the optimistic side about the Commanders. This is still a good football team. And if they do get off to that 5-0 start, please let's talk again. I will happily apologize to the
Well, you didn't. You said a decline. They won 12 games last year. That and it's so fair to look at, you know, week two, no kicker, Graham Gano, they got to go for fourth downs, they got to go for two. Devontae Smith dropped a third and five from Pickett right in his hands with nobody around that would have ended the Eagle game in December. New Orleans had a shot, you know, but also we missed an extra point against Dallas on that 80-yarder to Terry. There was a questionable spot in the Pittsburgh game that would have put him in field goal range at the end. You know how these things go. But, yeah, and not to mention the Hail Mary. There was a lot of good juju last year for this team, no doubt.
Deservedly so.
Yeah. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it as always.
Of course.
Bill Barnwell, everybody, at Bill Barnwell on X on Twitter. Who do you like this year? We're going to move away from our team and we're going to talk some NFL here. Who is your surprise pick to be a much better team than they were last year? This has to be, by the way, a non-playoff team that you're predicting will be a playoff team, and flipping it around, a playoff team that you think declines and doesn't make the playoffs. In your conversations, you've got a team in mind that you think is much better than most people think, and you've got a team in mind that is much worse than people think. I want to hear both of those teams at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Again, I want to make it clear, it's got to be playoff team that isn't in the playoffs, and then non-playoff team that makes the playoffs. All of our NFL conversation here on the Team 980 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and on Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started.
Ben, so I'm going to ask you a question here. I told you that was the last one. Brian Robinson just got moved. He is going to the San Francisco 49ers. This is according to Tom Pelissero of NFL Network. I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but a instant reaction to B-Rob getting moved.
Well, I mean, the 49ers are the team I sort of mentioned could be the guy for him. Sure. I mean, it needed to happen. It was going to happen. So now it happened.
In return, the Commanders get a 2026 sixth round pick. So Adam Peters is able to get something from Brian Robinson. Ben, I'll let you go because I know you got to handle this story. Appreciate the time. As always, my friend, be well.
Thanks, man.
That is Ben Standing. All right, so that is the breaking news. The Commanders just traded Brian Robinson to the San Francisco 49ers in exchange for a 2026 sixth round pick. I had put out a tweet, Max, this week. It was kind of in jest, but it was serious, too. The tweet was, what can Washington actually get in return for Brian Robinson? And a lot of the response that I was given was a bag of chips or a sandwich or like nothing, effectively. They're like, there's no chance that Adam Peters is going to get anything in return for Brian Robinson. Wrong. So he's able to get something. Max is held in a bag of chips now. He's able to get something. And getting a sixth round pick for a guy that you clearly had no intention of using this year, and that you clearly were not going to keep around next year, even if a sixth round pick is just that, a sixth round pick. If you trust in Adam Peters the way that I trust in Adam Peters, and the way that I do think at this point he has said, I am worthy of this trust, he can take that sixth round pick and turn it into something that might be a better use long term from Brian Robinson. And at the very least, it is better than just cutting Brian Robinson and saying, hey, you're a guy that this team used a draft pick on years ago. We're going to let you walk scot-free. Because he's better than a lot of the guys that got traded earlier this week. Like, we did this list yesterday of a bunch of wide receivers that have played really not a lot in the NFL that have less career yards in receiving than Brian Robinson had rushing yards in 2024. And what was a year that was a little bit disappointing for Brian Robinson in 2024. But they had less career yards than he had in 2024, and they still got something in return. It feels like the fit for Brian Robinson in San Francisco is the better of the two between the 49ers and Miami. I don't know, and here's what I'm a little confused with. why didn't you just package him in the Debo thing? Like, if you had an idea, because I can't imagine that they went into training camp thinking that Brian Robinson is going to be running back one, and then he did something to change up that line of thinking. My guess is that they always had this idea. I don't know that we're going to have Brian Robinson around here. We'll see how the draft plays out, but I don't know that Brian Robinson is going to be a long-term player in our recalibrating of this roster. I mean, are you just going to like play patty cake with San Francisco for the entirety of your tenure here? Like, you might as well have just thrown that into the Debo trade, and then maybe you can take a sixth round pick and get a better pick, because there's so many different picks and players at that point that would be end up a part of that deal and end up being exchanged. But that's the news right now. Brian Robinson is gone for real, for real. And Adam Peters gets a sixth round pick back in return, which means they are going into the season officially, likely with four running backs. We'll see that on cutdown day, but they are going in with a running back by committee approach of Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, of the potential of Jeremy McNichols, Chris Rodriguez, and Austin Eckler. I believe those are the four that are going to be a part of this roster. So those are the guys that are now going to be carrying the running game for Washington in 2025, alongside, of course, Jaden Daniels. I had always thought that Brian Robinson left a lot on the table in terms of production while playing alongside Jaden Daniels. They clearly felt the same, wasn't hitting the holes the way that he should have, didn't have the speed, that home run ability that they felt like he should have. So Brian Robinson is gone. I want your calls. Instant reaction, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Brian Robinson is gone, and Adam Peters somehow swindles San Francisco for a sixth-round pick for him. Your thoughts on the trade and what this means for the running back position at 301-230-0980. All football talk here on the Team 980 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.